two verses, verses 7 and 8. One of those texts that I'd rather somebody else brought. Remember them that have the rule over you. I want you to remember this. I think it's right. The things that we're considering are based on the scripture in 12:28. Rather than just remember this little phrase, let us have grace. Let us have grace whereby we really serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The imperatives given so far in chapter 13 we've considered. Let brotherly love continue. Have good affections toward the brethren, brothers and sisters here. Also to not to forget to entertain strangers. Particular emphasis was upon them that come to us in the name of Christ. But that we should have that toward those that are close to us too. And then remember them that are in bonds. And then the suffer adversity. Remember them. Have sympathy toward their condition. As though we were with them. There were some very important statements also that we need to remember. Remember this. Marriage is honorable. And the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and fornicators, God will judge. You remember this? The way. And we know what way that is. The way is without covetousness. And contentedness is with such things as we have. Learn that. Now we have two before us in this seventh verse, a commandment, imperative, which will be, remember them that have the rule over you. That's a commandment. And also in that verse is this commandment. Imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. So, remember them which have the rule over you. It's a kind of a scary word to us. I think you see the word rule. And I go, what does this mean? It refers to one that governs or leads others. This is not a ruler. As in a dictator, but a leader, as in leading by example. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, simple statement Paul makes to the Corinthians, very good statement, helpful and related to this. Remember them to have a rule over you. This apostle said to them, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but our helpers. What we're doing is meant to help your joy. We're helpers of your joy, for you stand by faith. Peter addresses the same thing, and we're going to come back to this text, 1 Peter 5, verse 3. I just want to get right into this part of it. He was addressing the fellow elders there among the churches, I believe, is to whom the address, the letter is addressed to. But he says here, neither as being lords. It's the same idea with the having dominion. It's built on the same Greek word, kurios. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but here it is. Being ensamples to the flock. Being an example. Them that have the rule over others are servants to them. No pastor, no deacon, no member should exercise dominion over others in this relationship. And that won't be so if the church is properly subjected to the doctrine of Christ. We're all what? What are we all? Jesus says, we're all brethren. We take it for granted sometimes. We might forget it because, you know, this isn't the way the world operates, is it? As soon as we walk out of these doors, we got people that are lording over us all around. The church doesn't operate like that. In Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 8, these things are so simple, but it is something that is so abused in churches today. So abused. I remember hearing somebody said to the congregation, you won't even choose what color the toilet paper is. Now that is dictatorial. And there are good brethren and preachers, pastors, that rule like that in a congregation, and it should not be. Jesus said, be not, and he said this to his disciples, and I don't remember, but at this stage, it might have been to just the apostles. So it very much applies to us. Let's say, like Ronald Reagan, it's a trickle-down effect. If they send it to it, it belongs to the top. It's got to belong to everybody else underneath. Be not called rabbi, great teacher. For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Verse 10. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. In the same book, chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, the mother of James and John had come to the Lord. And she wanted to get her boys appointed to the seat, right next, sitting right on the next to the Lord in the kingdom. The kingdom's coming. And she saw that by faith. And she saw her boys were involved in this. And she, I think as a loving mother, but out of place, oh Lord, would you give my boys one to sit on your right hand and the other on your left? Pretty carnal when you think about it. And the others got pretty carnal about it too. They got indignant. And here, Jesus called them unto him with this in mind and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion. It's built on that word kurios over them. And they that are great, that is high and strong and mighty, exercise authority. Exercise is built on that word. The right. They exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Right? Did we hear it? But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Diakonos. Now this is an interesting word. And it belongs to anyone that will serve the Lord. You're going to be a diakonos in this respect. We ought to all be servants. And it's built on this. It's the one who goes through the dust.
It's not going up, it's going down. This is the one that gets in the dirt of service for us. And he goes on and says, and whosoever will be chief, protos, among you, let him be your servant, doulos, slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to minister, to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He's the example. Do as he did. Now concerning these that have the rule over this Hebrew brethren, they're familiar. They know who he's talking about. And we do admit, and rightly so, that these do have a charge, a responsibility from the Lord, a special oversight of the flock of which they are a part. Notice in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we're coming back to 1 Peter 5 right after this. So if you're still there, that's where we're headed. Acts 20, verse 28. They do have a charge. The Apostle Paul to the Ephesian brethren, the elders of the church at Ephesus, he had called for them to meet him out here, and I believe it was Miletus, and he wanted to have a final word with him because he was sure he was not going to see them again in the flesh. And so he knew that he would be bound and arrested most likely, and those kinds of things were ahead of him. In light of that, he says to these men, these that have the rule over others, this church at Ephesus, he says, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock, notice, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Do you have an idea about their responsibility to be looking over the flock to see how their state is? And to be feeding them the word of God. This church, which he's purchased with his own blood. In 1 Peter chapter 5, go there again, verses 1 through 3. Again, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. This is going to sound like the last of Peter, Paul just said, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Don't worry about everybody else. Well, that's a big deal. We can become so easily distracted, but look upon this flock. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. Don't be forced to do this, but willingly do this. If you have the gift, that's what you're going to want to do. Not for filthy lucre. Don't let that get in the way of this business. But of a ready mind, a mind prepared for this work. Neither as being, there it is again, lords, kurios, over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And in our text here, three times this comes up in chapter 13. I want to look at verse 17. I'm not going to go into detail here. We're going to come to it. I believe it's verse 7, verse 17, and again at the close of the letter in verse 24. But in verse 17, Hebrews 13, Paul says, obey them that have the rule over you. We're going to want to consider that. And submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Now, remember them that have the rule over you. We have them, plural. And it's defined
First of all, he's talking about somebody particular that had the rule. But they're also defined further. And that's by these words, who have spoken unto you the word of God. See that? So them is defined in two ways. They have the rule and they do give to you the word of God. So we know who they are. It's not just anybody, but it's these folks. Some that the Lord has called to this particular work. And then it says, whose faith follow, and we said already that this is an imperative as well. Now, clearly these are the men that the church has acknowledged as having the gift for the pastoral office and has appointed them to it. This imperative respects the relationship of the members to these men. Since these men have been so appointed, then they, the Hebrew brethren, but all that are in a church, should be willing to consider them as the Word of God directs them to do. And that's what it's doing here. And we want to be careful about this. We already mentioned the fact that it's a plural pronoun and it's defined in two ways. Them also indicates that there's a plurality they're aware of. To be quite honest with you, I had a hard time finding a singular sense of elders in a congregation. It's very easy to find a plurality. I have a number of scriptures. We just read one in Acts 20:28. The elders, he said, and it was only the church at Ephesus that came out. There are a number of references concerning plurality of elders. Even Philippians here, just an easy one. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, which with the bishops, the church with the bishops, the overseer, the elder, and the deacons, plural. It was a single congregation that had a number of servants, certain servants. I think about the only thing I could, as far as singular, would be to consider the letters to what we call the pastoral letters to Timothy. Paul wrote a singular, probably, of the church at Ephesus at some point. Titus, where he went out in Crete, a man doing this work. But they were appoint, like Titus was commanded, appoint elders in every city. So it's hard to say if they only appointed one in each city, or if there were a number in every city. I don't know. And then you see these words, follow, whose faith follow. It's imperative. Follow in the sense of mimicking their faith. Mimicking their faith. Some of you aren't interested, but some of you will be. But at least I want to say this so you can tell there's a difference. You'll appreciate this as I get to it just a little bit. Follow is not here a kaletheo, to go after, or dioko, to pursue, opizo, to come behind. It's not any of those yet. It's not aimi meta, to be after, but it's mamestai. This is the word that we get our English word mimic. So now you know exactly what he means. Mimic. Imitate their faith. Copy it in them. Be copyists of the faith of such men. They might not be as they ought to be, but be copyists of those that are. Men that govern according to the directive of the Word of God. Men that should be patterning their lives after God's Word. Some men in this place don't do that.
men that show a faith inclined to God's Word. A faith which works by love. Have that kind of faith. It's already understood that no man comes by this naturally. All that will live so must apply themselves to the sufficiency of the grace of God. I can assure you, in your own Christian walk, you're learning that more. If you want to follow the Lord, you're going to have to trust the grace of God to work and give up things. Give up things. And I'm not meaning things like this. I mean give up things in here. Putting off, and then putting on. It's not just the preacher that puts off. It's all of us. A healthy church will be a church full of people that are putting off. This man or men must apply themselves to the grace of God, not every now and then, but every day, moment by moment. And then it says, whose faith follow, right? Right? Notice this. Considering the end of their conversation. Considering the end of their conversation. Now, this is very interesting because conversation is a word that can, it's like conversion. How is this man turned? Okay. Contemplating. Wow. It actually is built on a Greek word that we have the word theory. So you're looking at this man and you're getting an idea of what he's like. The end. See the word, the end of their conversation? The end? It's the basis of their life. Contemplate what these men, what they do. You got to judge this for yourselves. Consider the end, the way, the basis, the ground upon which their lives are being turned. Why are they being turned the way they are? Do you see it as something that's biblical, or is it just a carnal exercise that he's doing? Is it spiritual in the man or not? Are these men turned because of what? Filthy lucre? Are they turned for influence? They love to be able to tell people what they're going to do. Is that that's what's going on? They like to have power over others and rule over others. We just read these things. But there are men, in spite of this, in spite of the Word of God, who lead contrary to the Word of God. Or are they turned because of the power of His grace, working through the Word of God? The members of this church must judge the lives of their pastors. It should go without saying. But I'm going to say it anyway. The Lord, by His Word, never commands or encourages His children to blindly follow anyone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, remember the word follow, and it's here. To mimic. Be a copy. Well, Paul says, and notice how he says it, be ye followers of me. Mimic me. Without exception, right? That's not what the verse says. Even as I also am of Christ.
We follow others as they follow Christ. If others don't follow Christ, we don't follow them. Never. And the Word of God wouldn't say so. Anything like that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. Again, we have the word for mimic here, the word follow. He puts himself out there, and the brethren that have been serving with him for so long. For yourselves know how you ought to follow, mimic us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. And what he's saying is, we have obeyed the word of God. Follow us as we have led as examples of Christ to others. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Same word, got a little bit of a different preposition on it because you see the word followers together. And so that whole word is translated like that. Notice, brethren, be followers together of me. Copy me. Now that's boldness. I mean, that's boldness. I can't say that. To me, it's a fearful thing to say. But he said it by the Spirit of God. Be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensemble, a pattern, a figure, a type. And we're going to come back to this. The scripture, the rest of it. There are churches which have in them men that are appointed over them, which should not be followed. Notice the third letter of John, and begin at verse 9. We have here one man, Diotrephes, that should not be followed. And another man, Demetrius, that should be followed. There's a problem in this church, and there's somebody that's taking over, and he's doing some bad things. And the Apostle John is going to come there, and he's going to settle this matter when he gets there. Until then, he is turning the attention of the brethren to a man that they can follow and ought to follow until he gets there. Notice this in beginning at verse 9, breaking into this, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Wherefore, on account of this, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words against the Apostle John. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, entertaining strangers. There were brethren coming, and he wouldn't do it. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that would. They were doing the right thing, and he's telling, no, you don't do that. Now, that's not a lord over a congregation. I don't know what it is. And what did he do? Cast them out of the church for that. Now, beloved, mimic. Here it is. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. There's something questionable, he's implying. There's something questionable about this man, Diotrephes. He's got an issue. And I don't know where he stands. But he that doeth evil hath not seen God. If he doesn't correct, it's a bad indication of what this man's state, the state of his soul is. But notice this. Demetrius has a good report of all men.
and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. See how he turned these dear brethren to him. And you know that our record is true. And then he's going to say, I'll try to take care of this when I get there, if the Lord will. So back to the text in Philippians 3, at verse 18, we finish it. There are those that should not be followed. Parenthetical here, to finish off the subject here. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and these were men that were leading in the churches, of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping. It broke his heart that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame. In their shame, who mind earthly things. They had a calling, but it wasn't of God. And they had weaseled their way into the church and churches of Jesus Christ. And the saints need to be watching for this and judging them that are in this place always. That's the idea. Obviously, we're all judged by what we do. There's no question about it. And pastors must be judged for what they do. The flock must judge whether the example of the pastor is to be followed. And if it's not, you're going to have to do something. Mimic the example of them that walk as Christ would have us to walk. Again, in Ephesians 5:1, be therefore followers of God. God. Keep our priorities right. As dear children. Yes, these are only men. Yes, I don't have to tell you they're imperfect. We're well aware of our defects. But it's the next verse that gives the body its stability. I've been seeing more and more lately that so much, I think the doctrine sometimes is too this way. And it needs to be turned this way. We're looking at others too much and need to focus on Him. It's pretty convicting when you're found out to be doing this horizontal stuff. What's the scripture say? I wonder why it was at this place. Until almost this morning, I was like, why is this text here? I think it's this. Everybody, sinners saved by grace. No question about it. No distractions if you're looking at him, though. Peter sees the Lord. They come out and scared him at death, these guys in their boat. And then the Lord says, it's me. And Peter, I don't know how in the world he come up with this. But yeah, original thinker. I think because he's doing this. Lord bid me that I come out to you. Well, come on, Peter. And he did walk on the water. But it wasn't very long that he was doing this. And he began to sink quickly. And he saved me. And he did. But here we are. Jesus Christ. The verb here is understood. Is the same yesterday and today and forever. Or Jesus Christ yesterday, today is the same forever. He's our example. He's the pattern. He's the type. He's the one that we're to be conforming our life to. Oh, yeah, there are people that, you know, when we see someone doing the right thing and bottle of water and a profound example, oh, I want to be like that. You see, that's the idea. But he's like that because he was looking up. The Lord himself is the only one that doesn't change. He never changes. He is, Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:17, he's the unchangeable, eternal, immortal, invisible God. Wow. Malachi the prophet said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." It's our Lord. It's our Lord Jesus. Moses wrote, "God, not a man, that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Yes, he will. Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Yes, he will." His word is good. James said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness." You can depend on him. When he said to come, he still says to come. He doesn't change his mind. "Well, I didn't mean today." "Well, you waited too long." He's the only image that we are to be conformed to and are being conformed to if we're followers of Christ. Romans 8:29. "For whom," we always want to point out, he's talking about somebody. He's talking about someone. It's not some nebulous idea out there floating around. It's somebody in particular. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren." I'm persuaded that everyone that knows Christ will be conformed to his image. There is no question in my mind about it. So, well, there are some that just seem like they never will be. They will be. They will be. Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and then we're finished with a couple of remarks. "But we all," Paul includes himself, he puts himself in the midst of this carnal congregation, Corinth, "we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord," I believe looking into the word, the mirror of the word of God, "are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We don't do it ourselves. The Spirit of the Lord does that in us. We all fail to be as we ought to be. There are times, maybe many times, a long time. We're all sinners saved by grace. You understand that? We do. There's no justification for us to live in sin, a habit of life. No justification whatsoever. I don't care if the preacher fails. There's no justification for living in sin. None. Some take that, though. They see the preacher do something. "Well, he let a word fly. I guess it's so. I can do the same thing." No. Or he does something else. And it's not right. He's carnal. And they take it and run with it. It's why preachers have to be especially careful not to allow those kinds of things in their lives. Because they're a spectacle before others. We don't want to be copied in the wrong way. And there is that carnal aspect when we see somebody do something that we have held up, and they do something that's, it's error, it's sin. We see that. And we think carnally that we do say, "I'll tell you what, the nation is so affected like that." When the leaders of our country can stand before the nation and lie through their teeth, what do you think the people that are under them are going to do? I mean, we've turned into a nation of nothing but liars. And it doesn't stop there. If he can live an immoral life, what do you think the country's going to do? The very same thing. And if the pastor of a church lives in a carnal way, what do you think the congregation is going to do? It can't be allowed. It's important. It must not be allowed. The country ought to disallow such a behavior. It ought to, but it doesn't. We must keep our eyes on Christ. We are to be changed in our thinking by the Word of God. The Word of God should affect us. We are to put away from our lives those things that are harmful. Put away, obviously, the bad language. Put away bad habits. Bad things. Put away. You know what? It took me years to do this. I hesitate to say anything because I'm a man. I'll always be affected a certain way. Drink was one of those things. If it weren't for the Lord, I'd be a flat-out drunkard. I love drink. Oh, I like it a lot. But I'm not given to it. I won't touch it anymore. I stopped touching it before you called me into this service. It was definitely good for me to not touch it anymore. And some dabble with it. It's okay. I understand that. But I can't do it. We can't do it. It can't be allowed. But it's a very dangerous place we put ourselves in. Because it doesn't take anything at all. The next thing you know, we've gone into it. We've fallen head over heels, on our face. We're ashamed of ourselves for it. There are things that we should put away. Things that are harmful. Drink. Drugs. Hopefully we put away those kinds of things. What are we to put on? Put on Christ. What is that? It's what we read in the scriptures. It's the things that we admire about our Lord. When we read the account of his earthly ministry, your heart just goes, oh, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I want to frame my life like this by the Spirit of God. That begins to happen. And I tell you what, you've had this mental image of eternity being like an eagle that come by every how many years, 100 years or so, and he'd come over there and he'd sharpen his beak on that granite stone. That's how long eternity is. But it seems like we're not being changed. It seems so slow. But things are happening. He's doing things. You begin to see something work. Hey, I'm not so affected like this, so strongly anymore. It seems like I've gotten the power over it, you see. What do? You keep on hitting at it. That's the Christian life. And we will be conformed to his image. You put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. We can be a godly people. A holy people. Preachers definitely ought to be. We ought to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Renewed. We need our minds washed with the water of the Word of God. And it only happens as we consider it and read it. This is the stuff that makes good Christian people. The right kind. And you can't do it alone.
We need to be in this body. We need to be in the fellowship of this church. We need to be together. I can't do it alone, and you can't either. So, you know, there's this. You have a pretty good cord with two, but when there's three, I think the old proverb says it don't get broke. It's strong. It's a strong binding. Remember them that have the rule over you who have spoken the word of God to you. Follow them as they follow Christ, considering the basis of their lives, what turns them the way they're turned. Consider it. Judge it. Is it because of Christ? Is it because of the word of God? If so, Paul says what? Do the same thing. Do the same thing. Praise the Lord. That's the message.